I want to discuss with you a situation that arises, at least in these parts, almost every Pesach. And the question is how to deal with it. We're not going to come to any answer today, because today we'll have to give an overview. But I just want you to know where we're going. And that is, we have here what we call a pach ashpa. You know, I guess you'd call it a rubbish bin. You know, here in Israel they have these big things, they call them tzfardim, you know. And the question is, people, lots of people, including myself, yours truly, will throw their chametz into these rubbish bins. And on Erev Pesach, you can really pass by these gigantic green things and you could see tons of chametz there. And basically everyone takes out this little bag, you know, that they collected on the Bedikah night and they burn that. But there's just literally tons of real, real chametz gomer that's being thrust into these rubbish bins. And that's an issue on Erev Pesach, okay? And the issue really spills over into Pesach, because you have other people who dump, you know, chametz even on Pesach into rubbish bins, either because they missed it and they found it or whatever. I want to know what the status of that is. Again, I don't claim that we're going to answer that question today, so I'm just hoping you'll have a little bit of patience, and we'll hopefully be able to answer it next week. So what I want to do now is
I just want to clarify, this would not be the same as with the rubbish containers that we have here, which are individual. You're asking with regards to...
No, it would apply to your rubbish containers that are individual. What I'm just saying is that here, I just wanted to, you know, dramatize that it's not just Berzon, it's like everybody and their uncle are just throwing tons of chametz, real chametz, into the rubbish pans here, and I'm not sure if that is okay. Again, just bear with me.
Who's supposed to put it there?
Okay, bear with me, and that's what I want to investigate with you and see how we can possibly justify this minhag, because I'm going to try to prove to you that it's very problematic. Okay, then let's just get beginning.
Now, the city to pick it up.
Okay, but the city doesn't pick it up before Pesach. That it's people are. Sometimes the city gets around to it before Pesach, and maybe that would solve that problem. But I'm not even sure if that's the solution to the problem, because I'm not sure that the city getting rid of the chametz is equivalent to my getting rid of the chametz. And that's what I want to begin with. What is the source in the Torah for the mitzvah to get rid of chametz? What are the reasons we get rid of chametz? And then what are the methods and the requirements to get rid of chametz? So we begin in Parshas Bo. And please make a note of it. The Torah tells us in Perek Yud Beis Shmos, Ach Bayom HaRishon, Tishbisu Sa'ar Mibateichem, Tashbisu Si'ar Mibateichem. So the key word in this pasuk is tashbisu, and tashbisu means tevaaru, which means to destroy the chametz. That's what I call the mitzvah asay, and we're going to talk a lot about that mitzvah asay, the positive command. But first let me point out that getting rid of chametz is a requirement that's engendered not just by the mitzvah asay of tashbisu, but also by a lav, an Isur, and not just one Isur, but two Isurim, two Lavim, which we all know are Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. They are also written by the Torah in Parshas Bo, but here we have to fast forward to Perek Yud Gimel, and it's very interesting that the Mitzvah Saseh of Tashbisu is recorded in Perek Yud Beis, and a full chapter later in Perek Yud Gimel, the Torah writes, Lo Yirah Lecha Chametz, v'lo yirah lecha si'ar b'chol gvulecha. And here we have the Iser of Bal Yirah. We'll soon see that in addition to Bal Yirah, which means that chametz should not be seen in your possession, there's also an additional lav of lo yimotze chametz bevateichem. So if we combine lo yirah and lo yimotze, we're left with two lavim that prohibit us from having chametz, and one essay that commands us to destroy our chametz. That's the essay of tashbisu. Now here's the question that I want to ask you. Supposing I don't have any chametz, am I required to come up with chametz? Do I have to, the language of the Chazal is lechazer achrei chametz, I gotta knock on doors, I gotta go to my local supermarket, you know, ask Pat's, you know, to sell me some chametz? Or is it enough that I don't have chametz? Well, look, if it's only a lo saser, that you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession, well, I don't have any chametz in my possession. But the problem is that we have an additional dimension, and that is the obligation of tashbisu. Clearly, if I have chametz, I have to destroy it under the mitzvah say of tashbisu. My question is, what if I don't have any chametz? Do I have to actively look for chametz, you know, possess chametz in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu? And my friends, this is not a simple matter. The one who really attacks this head on is none other than the Minchas Chinuch. And the Minchas Chinuch says that our issue hinges on two different understandings of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. One explanation of the mitzvah of Tashbisu is what he calls a kum va'aseh, which means I have to actively see to it that I destroy chametz. The Torah likes to see people destroying chametz. It gives the Torah pleasure. Somehow the act of destroying chametz is an uplifting, inspiring experience. That's just by Derech HaTzachus. But in any event, there's a kum va'aseh, and that's the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Or, alternatively, says the Minchas Chinuch, no. Tashbisu really is a shevi al taseh. It's an inactive mitzvah. I may have to actively destroy the chametz, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah in its essence is not having chametz in my possession. And the nafkamina between these two definitions is the case that I described before, where I don't have any chametz. If you go with the first definition of the Minchas Chinuch, that there is a kum va'aseh, that like any mitzvah saseh, like wearing tefillin, or eating matzah, or shaking a lulav, so too there's a mitzvah say of Tashbisu on the 14th of Nisan to destroy chametz, then if I don't have any chametz, well, get yourself some chametz. If you don't have tefillin, get yourself tefillin and put it on. But if I take the second definition, that basically Tashbisu means see to it, guarantee that you don't have any chametz, then it's shevi al taseh. The real essence of the mitzvah is not having chametz. If I have chametz, I may have to actively destroy it, but the key of the mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah, is not possessing chametz. And therefore, if I happen to know that I'm in no zero possession of chametz, there's no reason, no requirement to obtain chametz in order to destroy it. And the Minchas Chinuch vacillates back and forth on this issue. I'll just read to you perhaps one or two lines from the Minchas Chinuch just to get a flavor of his language. He says, Yesh l'dagdek, we should be careful about the definition of the mitzvah. Ha'im ha'mitzvah saseh shiyehei ha'chametz mushbas, that there be no chametz, u'mekayim b'shevi al taseh, o dilma, the mitzvah lo b'kum v'aseh, sheyashbis v'yavirus ha'chametz, that he should actively destroy it. V'hochi nami, he says so too if he doesn't have any chametz. Mitzvah lechazer, to run around, sheyielo chametz, in order that he should have chametz. Kodem ha-Pesach, v'yavirus ha-chametz. He has another nafkamina which is much more complicated, and that is whether you could be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu by eating your chametz. And he suggests that if the Torah says tashbisu as an active kum va'aseh, then it could be that tashbisu requires an act of biur, an act of hashbasa. Achila is not called hashbasa. But if the Torah means by tashbisu, just get rid of your chametz so that you don't have chametz, then by golly, you can eat your chametz. I mean, my wife all the time is telling me, you know, when I eat this chametz now, you know, because we're already in the mode of, you know, what they call the chametz cooties, and she says to me, eat the chametz and be mekayim in the midst of beer chametz. There's a technical problem because it's not the 14th of Nisan. But on the 14th of Nisan, the Minchas Chinuch wants to suggest that perhaps you can fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu by eating chametz. That's another nafkamina which he says depends on these two definitions. Now, Rabosai, David?
Okay, so let's assume that it's only a mitzvah if you have chametz, and if you don't have chametz, you're potter.
Of course, it's shevi al tasa, yeah.
Right, so is that kind of like, shall we say, an egg larufa, that if you don't have an egg larufa, you don't have to go looking for it, because there's no reason to eat it.
Correct. Or like shiluach hakein. You don't have to look for a mother bird that's over a fledgling. You don't know what to be kind of mitzvah.
Shiluach hakein's different.
No.
Shiluach hakein would be different. You're not mekayim the mitzvah. Here, if you don't have any, you maybe there's an element of being mekayim the mitzvah by not having it. Shiluach hakein, it's just you don't have a bird. You have no part in the mitzvah at all.
I see what you're saying. Okay, that's a good point.
So then my question is: assuming Joe is right, which is about to ask, how do you have kavanah for it? Like you can't. There's no bracha to say. But how do you come on it for not doing anything? I mean,
right, no. There's what's called a Maisa mitzvah and there's a Kiyuma mitzvah. The Maisa mitzvah is a means to an end. It's kind of like blowing the shofar, but the mitzvah is the Kiyuma mitzvah is the hearing the shofar. You know what? Maybe let me think about it again. Maybe what I just told you is not a fair analogy. But you know, to Shiluach HaKein, because like you say very well, in Shiluach HaKein, it's just I avoid the mitzvah. But wait a second. No, wait a minute. On second thought, the same thing should apply here in Tashbisu in that definition of the Minchas Chinuch. If I don't have any chametz, Joe, let's say I never owned chametz in my life, for argument's sake, then it's not that I'm a kai in the mitzvah of Tashbisu. That's not what the Minchas Chinuch is saying. In such a case, I don't have to look for chametz, you know, search and find chametz, because I'm not obligated in the mitzvah of Tashbisu. I didn't do anything to bring chametz into my possession. I don't have to do anything to take chametz out of my possession. My claim would be the following. There are two scenarios. One scenario is I don't have any chametz, period. Let's say I never had any chametz since Sheshis Mei Breshis. Scenario number two is I have chametz. I destroy the chametz in order to fulfill the mitzvah of not having chametz. To get myself to that situation of not having chametz. The difference between scenario A and scenario B is that in scenario A, I never had any chametz. I'm not chayav in the mitzvah of Tashbisu. If there's no ownership, then I'm not obligated because the whole mitzvah is shevi al tasa. But in scenario B, when I destroy my chametz, although the destruction of the chametz is not a mitzvah per se, but nevertheless, it's my active participation in creating the mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is not having chametz. And in this case, where I had chametz and I destroyed it, I obtain a kiyuma mitzvah.
Okay, so what's the question?
But the other way of learning it is nein. The Torah says destroy chametz, period. You don't have chametz? It's like you don't have tefillin. Go ahead and buy tefillin in order to wear tefillin. You don't have chametz? Go ahead and buy chametz or borrow chametz or steal chametz in order to destroy the chametz. That's called shkum vaseh. The Shevi Altas says no. The mitzvah only applies in order to get me to the situation which I'm already in. Namely, not having chametz. I already have no chametz. Therefore, I'm not obligated to go ahead and get chametz and obtain it in order to destroy it.
No, it's situation dependent. Like egel harufa.
Correct. And there are many mitzvahs that are situation dependent. And I may not, for example, on a d'oraisa level, I mean, midrabbanan is a little different, but on a d'oraisa level, I don't have to wear a beged that has four knuffos in order to be mekayem the mitzvah of tzitzis, nor do I have to buy a roof, a slanted roof on top of a building in order to be mekayem me in shiluach hakein and in what do you call it in hakamas mikeh. So too, I don't have to buy chametz in order to get to the situation of not having chametz. I already don't have chametz. Or no, maybe there's a kumvaseh of destroying chametz. And Rabbosai, at this point, I would like to introduce what I consider the most important source in Chazal for understanding the nature of Tashbisu. And that's the Mishnah at the beginning of the second perek. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, which hopefully you'll remember. And that is, how do I destroy chametz? And Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein bir chametz ela sreifa. I must burn the chametz in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu. And the Chachamim say, no. Hashbisaso b'chol davar. I just get rid of it any way, any shape, and any form that I'd like to do so. Af mefarer v'zor l'ruach. You know, let the winds carry it away. Oh, matil layam, or throw it into the Dead Sea. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein bir chametz el esreifa, diyolif mi nosar. Rabbi Yehuda compares chametz to nosar. In both cases, there's an isra hanah, there's a chiv karis if you eat it, and then there's a mitzvah of sreifa. The Rabbanan don't refuse to derive chametz from nosar, because they have a proof from Chelev of Sharon Niskal. Chelev of Sharon Niskal is Aser Banah. If you eat it, you are Chayiv Kares. And yet the Torah does not require Sreifa in the case of Chelev Shel Sharon Niskal. Now, if I were to ask you, is there one opinion here between Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham that seems to indicate that there's a Kumvaseh element here in Tashbisu? That Tashbisu requires an active Maisa Mitzvah that's absolutely, shall I say, unconditionally required. Which of those two shitas would fit that bill? Rabbi Yehuda, by isolating Sreifa, is telling you that the Torah is not just looking for a way to guarantee that you don't have chametz in your possession. If that be the case, the Chachamim are correct. What difference it makes? Send your chametz on a long trip to the moon, you know, with the astronauts. Who cares? But Rabbi Yehuda says, "Nein, we've got to be very specific. Ein bir chametz el esreifa." Now, I have here in front of me Rav Chaim al Rambam. Rav Chaim wants to go a step further. And he wants to, you know, I don't know if he knows the Minchas Chinuch or doesn't. He doesn't quote the Minchas Chinuch. But I would say he takes this Chakira of the Minchas Chinuch one step further. And he wants to know, what's the halacha regarding Efer Chametz HaNisraf? Efer with an olive means the ashes. You burn the chametz. Are you allowed to enjoy the benefits of the ashes?
Why not?
I'll tell you why not. Because the Gemara in Tmura, with regard to Psuli HaMekdoshim, says that Efer depends on whether Naseis Mitzvaso or Lo Naseis Mitzvaso. Let me try to explain. There are two types of objects that we have to get rid of. I'm so sorry.
That's a question, because it's still part. Is it still hektish or not? If chametz has a definition, what chametz is? Once it's over, it's not chametz.
So Rabbosai, there are two types of objects that the Torah requires to get rid of. One is called nikbarim, and one is called nisrafim. In the case of nikbarim, The Torah doesn't require that I burn the object. The Torah says just hide it. You know, get rid of it. Make sure it's inaccessible. And that's called lo nasis mitzvah, which I'll explain to you what I mean. And then there's something called nisrafim. Nisrafim means where the Torah specifies that you have to burn it, like nosar. The difference is that in the case of nisrafim, it's called nasis mitzvah. Reb Chaim explains. Nikbarim means that the gavra, the individual, has to be protected. He has to be far away from this object. Who knows what will happen if the object is accessible? He may decide to eat it or have benefits from it. That's called nikbarim. Nikbarim means that my mitzvah is fulfilled if I am far away from this object. Nisrafim, on the other hand, says Reb Chaim, there the Nasis mitzvah is in the Chefetz itself. The mitzvah is in the object. And I have to destroy the object through Sreifa. And once it's Nasis mitzvah in the Chefetz, the Kiyum HaMitzvah is Matir, the Yisr HaNoah. And that's called Efer Mutter. The question is, how do we classify Chametz? Is Chametz considered Nikbarim? Or is Chametz considered Nisrafim? Says Reb Chaim, it should depend upon the machlokas Reb Yehud and Chachamim. Chachamim say, Ash besosu b'chol davar. That's a din in the Gavra. That the Gavra should be far away from the Chametz, and the Chametz should be far away from the Gavra. There's no Nasis mitzvah in the Chefetz. On the other hand, if I hold like Reb Yehuda, Ein bir Chametz el Sreifa, then the destruction of the Chametz is a kiyum in the Chefetz of the Chametz. The Chametz itself must be destroyed. It's got to go up in smoke. And the nafkamina is going to be, what's the status of Efer Chametz HaNisraf? According to the Chachamim, alright, you burnt the Chametz. You could have done a million and other different options. You chose to burn it. That's Nikbarim. That's not kiyum mitzvah in the Chefetz. There's no kiyum mitzvah in the Chefetz here. The Torah doesn't say, get that Chefetz out of, you know, destroy the Chefetz. It's like the Chefetz is some sort of repulsive object, and the Torah wants to see you smash it up. It's a kiyum in the Gavra, that the Gavra should be Chametz free. Is Memel the Efer Chametz HaNisraf is Asur. Masha Ein Kein, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa, then the mitzvah is to destroy the object in this specific way of Sreifa. That's Nasis Mitzvaso in the Chefta, and therefore the Efer is Mutter. That was the Chiddush of Reb Chaim. So in effect, Joe, you know, the floor is yours. I just want to say that Reb Chaim really took the Minchas Chinuch one step further. It's not enough to say, Kuvase. You got to go beyond that. Even the Chachamim could hold it's kumvase, possibly, you know, just destroy the Chametz. But the question is whether that's a kiyum in the Chefetz or not. And that, Reb Chaim says, is unique to Rabbi Yehudu, who says, Ein bir Chametz el Sreifa. Rabbi Yehudu is going a step further, and he requires that you take this Chametz and convert it into smoke. Let it go up in smoke. That's a kiyum in the Chefetz, which is matir the Efer, and that would certainly be kumvase. Go ahead, Joe.
No, we were talking about it before. There's just a little bit of a different issue here with regards to chametz, because once you burn it, it no longer has it's no longer called chametz. So it's not the whole question doesn't come into play. Can you use the ashes or not? It's not a chametz anymore. What's the question?
Okay, let's say you convert it. Partially, or it's not totally ashes, it's edible for animals, I don't know, whatever the case may be, but I'm just saying there's a different halacha here that has nothing to do with what you call panim chadashas balakan, that the old object has lost its identity, but rather has to do with kiyum mitzvahs in the Chefetz. Okay. Now, I want to talk to you about bedikas chametz. Well, until now we've been discussing beer chametz. But there's a process that has to take place before Bir Chametz, and that's called Bedikas Chametz. And that's the subject of the first Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim. Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Arli Arbas, or Bod Kimas HaChametz Li or Haner. And here's my question to you. This requirement of Bod Kimas HaChametz, Do I view that as a d'oraisa or as a d'rabbanan? Rashi says, bodkim shelo yavar olav b'bal yirah u'bal yimotze. Rashi is saying that you have chametz in your possession, right? You have what's called a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. It's a cheskas chametz in the bais. We have every reason to assume that somewhere in the house there's chametz, and now you have to check and destroy that chametz. Otherwise, you're in violation of not one lav d'oraisa, but two lavim d'oraisa, bal yirah and bal yimotze. That's how Rashi learns the Mishnah. But Tosis refuses to accept Rashi because Tosis says, wait a minute, there's another way that you get rid of your chametz without bidika and biur, and that is an absolute requirement under all circumstances. And what's that called? Bittul chametz. And in Bittul Chametz, the Gemara says every single Jew has to be Mevatel his Chametz, even though he's checking his house, HaBodek Tzarech Sheyevatel. That's Gemara Daf Vav. Says Tosis, if you're going to do Bittul, then it's not your Chametz. If it's not your Chametz, you don't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. Why Bedika then? The Chachamim required Bedika. And Tosis has an explicit Gemara on Daf Vav on Daf Dalit Amid Beis. The Gemara says Bidikas Chametz Midorais. Bidikas Chametz Midrabanan. Who the Midoraisa Bibitol Bialma Sagi. On a Doraisa level, it's enough that you did Bittul, and Bittul covers you for these Didim Doraisa, the requirement by your Rabbi Yimotzeh. And Bidika is only the Rabbanon. Then the question becomes, well, why did the Rabbanon require Bidika? So comes along Tosfos, and he says, you know what, you're right, you can do Bittul Chametz, and you could, on a Doraisa level, you could leave your Chametz on your table and look at it for 7 days and drool over it. But the Rabbanon are not happy with that. Why? What's going to happen in case you drool too much?
You're going to eat it.
Shema yavo liachlo. And now Tosis raises the phenomenal question, Shema yavo liachlo. Nobody says that I have to get rid of basar b'chalav. Nobody says that I have to get rid of klai akerem. No one says I have to get rid of arla. There are plenty of isurim, and the Torah doesn't require, the Rabbanan don't require bedika. The Rabbanan are not interested in asking you Shema yavo liachlo. Why then is chametz different? Says Tosfos that the reason why chametz is different, because it's not like any other isur. Why?
Have it any other time.
Exactly. Because chametz is hetera the entire year. And lo bedili minei inchi. Nobody separates himself from chametz. There's a real serious suspicion that he might just grab a piece, forgetting himself, and do what he does the rest of the year, pop it in his mouth, violate an Easter kares in this case, because chametz is an Easter kares, and therefore the Rabbanan required bedika. But one thing is absolutely clear. Even a bodek must do bittul. Why? If I do bidika, what's the issue here? I got rid of all my chametz. I'm not going to eat any chametz. I now destroy my chametz. There's no bal yirah bal yimotzeh. Why is it that I need bittul? That's what I'm asking. So guess what? The reason why the bodek needs bittul is explained by the Ran at the beginning of Masecht Pesachim. And he says the following, that we're not going to rely on Bdika, and we're not going to rely on Bittul. We need the both, the combination of the two. Why don't we rely on Bittul? I mean, the Torah says we should rely on Bittul. I mean, the Chachamim are worried that you might eat it. Comes along the Ran, and he says the following. Even though you've covered your bases as far as Bal Yirah, you're very well protected from Bal Yirah by Yimotzeh with Bittul. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan required Bidika as well. And Tosfos says, because of Shema Yavo Liachlo, Fine. Rashi says, over there on Daf, Dalet Amid Beis Dechsiv Tashbisu. And that's why Bittul is enough, because Tashbisu is not Tevaru, it means even Bittul. But nevertheless, we require Bedika. And the reason for that is, says the Ran, Mipnei Shebittul Ze Toli V'machshavton Shel Bnei Adam. Bittul depends upon the serious nature or the intention of the person. The Ein Deosein Shavos, not everyone has the same Das. The Efshar Sheikilu B'kach, maybe he'll be a little bit lightheaded about it. He won't be so serious. V'lo Yotzion Milibon Legamre, he won't have a full-fledged, full-hearted, sincere bittul. Is therefore ro chachomim lahachmir shelo yaspik bittul vitzrichu bedika ubiur. Rabosai, there is a very fundamental machlokus here between Tosus and the Ran. Tosus was saying that, you know what? Bittul is fine. The Rabbanan are worried about Achila. The Ran is saying that Bittul is not fine because the Rabbanan are worried that maybe you won't have a complete sincere Bittul and therefore you'll violate Ba'yiro Ba'yimatze. Says the Ran, if the Torah relies on Bittul, the Chachamim are not going to rely on Bittul. And the Chachamim therefore require Bidiku Biur to protect you from Ba'yiro Ba'yimatze. It comes out like this, Rabbosai, that according to Tosfos, Bedikas Chametz from A to Z, from beginning to end, is purely Derabbanan. It's all a Gzera and a Chashash. We're afraid you'll eat the Chametz. According to the Ran, Bedika is really a Doraisa. What do I mean it's a Doraisa? The only way of protecting yourself on a Doraisa level is Bittul. The Chachamim said, let's not rely on Bittul. We're afraid he didn't do a sincere, complete, total bittul, and therefore we need bedika. But according to the Ran, when I'm doing my bedika, I am really doing it on a doraisa level, because the premise is that I didn't do bittul. Or if I did bittul, I didn't do a sincere bittul.
I have a question. So according to the Ran, why is there no bracha bedika chametz?
According to the Ran, we have to make a bracha on bedikas chametz, but the nusach bracha is on the beer chametz.
So I know that. That's the same. If bedikas deraisa, should bracha on bedika also?
No, I'll tell you why. Because bedika is only the first stage in beer. What do I mean? It's not enough to just check my house. That's not going to protect me from Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzeh. I found chametz. I will violate Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzeh. The bedika is only an introduction to Biur, to destroy the chametz. When I destroy the chametz, that's when I'm a kaim the mitzvah. In fact, you'll be amazed to find out that there are poskim who say that after you make the bracha before your bdika, you should not be mafsik with anything that's irrelevant to the bdika until the next morning when you go out and you destroy your chametz. Okay, I'm not saying we paskin like that. But suffice it to say that the ultimate kiyuva mitzvah is not the bedika, but the beer chametz.
Wait, if part of those poskim, how do you go to sleep? You're saying it's not the mitzvah.
Okay, good. That's a good question. What's the difference between sleeping and being mafsik bedibur? I'm only using this, David, lesaber es ha'ozen, that I want you to see that the bracha on the bedika is really a bracha on the beer chametz, because bedika itself is just a, and what I call a prerequisite. You know, how can you destroy your chametz until you find it? But you're finding it is not enough. Obviously, your goal is to destroy it. So therefore, according to the Ran, if we don't rely on bittul, then we have a very serious requirement of bedika / beer chametz, the goal of which is to protect you from Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. I'd like to take a moment now to look into the halacha, into the poskim. I think I sent this to you by email. We're talking about Orachayim Simon Tuf Lamed Aleph. So let's open up to Orachayim Simon Tuf Lamed Aleph. The Torah writes the following. He says in Tav Lamed Aleph, Midoraisa bibitol bialma sagi shivatlenu beliba viachshivenu keiluhu afar bialma viaz enu overalav ella shechachamim hitzrichu lahotzio min abayis. Why? Lefisha adam ragil bo kol hashana v'chashnu shema yavol yachlo im yishayer bebeisa. Like which shita is the tour codifying halacha? Like Rashi and the Ran, or like Tosfos?
Seems like Tosfos.
Exactly, like Tosfos. Now the Beis Yosef says midoraisa v'bitol bal masagi, and he says, Hachi Amrina Bereish Psachim Davdalin Amid Beis Pirush Rashi Diolifle Midichsiv Tashbisu V'lo Kisiv Tavaru Alma Ashpas Belevi. Fine. He says V'nira Midivrei Rabbeinu, meaning it would seem from the tour, and basically he means Tosfos, because the tour is just codifying Tosfos. Shehu sover d'midoraisa ein lanu ela bittul. On a total level, we have a requirement of bittul. V'ein lebdika ubir chametz ikar min haTorah klal. According to this approach, Tosfos in the tour, bdikas chametz has no shemetz, no little even nuance of a doraisa. Avol haran kosav d'efsho lomar kein el kachu ikar shel dvarim. The Torah recognizes two different methods of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Chameis v'yivarenu min ha'olam ulefichav kol sheino mevatel chayav livdog kidei shelo yavrol v'bal yirah b'yimotzei avol mi shebitel sagi b'hochi ela shemipnei shebitel zeh toli v'machshavton shel b'nei odom v'yein dey osem shavos v'yeshar sheyekilu b'kach v'lo yotziyu milibon legamri roch hachomim lahachmir shelo yaspik bitel v'tzrichu b'dika. Ubiur, fine. Rabbosai, the Beis Yosef offers us a beautiful overview of the entire sugya here of Tashbisu and Bal Yirah Bayimatze. According to the Torah law, says the Beis Yosef, Tashbisu could be fulfilled in one of two ways: either destroy the chametz after you check and find, or to be mevatel the chametz. That too is recognized as a valid method of Tashbisu. However, the Chachamim said we're not going to rely on Bittul. And here we have two answers to the question, why don't we rely on Bittul? And the first answer is because we can't let the chametz float around in our house. We're used to eating the chametz all year round. We might come to eat the chametz. And the second answer is because we're not going to rely on the Bittul. And the difference between the two is that if you go with the first explanation, that we're worried that you might eat it, is ein lebdika ubir shoresh b'torah klal, ein lo ikar b'torah klal. It's pure derabbanan. But if you go with the second approach, that derabbanan were not so reliant on your bittul, then we're really talking about a doraisa, meaning the chiyuv itself might be derabbanan in the sense that the Torah relied on your bittul, but the rabbanan said we cannot rely on your bittul. Now, if we don't rely on your bittul, if we're going to freeze your bittul and neutralize it, then bedika and biur move frontal stage on a doraisa level to protect you from the isurim of bal yirah bal yimotzei. And I want to now move on in the tour. We did Tav Lamed Hey, excuse me, Tav Lamed Aleph. Now I want to do Tav Mem Hey. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. The tour says the following. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Bir Chametz El Esreifa. So again, the Rabbanan required Bedika, and we have to look all over and check Bechorin who's stuck in and come up with the Chametz. And now what do we do with the Chametz? That's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamin. Says the tour, Rashi Posei Kavase. Mind-boggling. Rabbi said this is going to have tremendous repercussions about the question that I asked you about the rubbish pans. Rashi Paskins, Azoyzak the tour, I don't know how he knows this, that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa. He says, V'cheinu Bagaonim. He says the Gaonim, even before Rashi, there were those who paskined like Rabbi Yehuda. But then he says that the halacha, and he quotes the Baal Ita, the Rambam, and others, is like the Chachamim, the Amri Mefarer, Vizora Leruach, Omatil Yam. So Rabosai, this is fascinating. We have here in the tour opening up a really wild possibility that we pass like Chachamim. In other words, when we go out to burn our Chametz, it's not just, you know, some sort of very nice ceremony, or shall we say it's a nice Chumrah. According to Rashi, the way the Torah has it, this is the mitzvah of Tashbisu. We are now fulfilling the method of Tashbisu. Again, we could have done it with Bittul, because the Gemara says Midoraisa Bittul Baal Masagi, but we're going to not rely on Bittul. We're going to have to do a bdik and then a beer, but the beer requires Sreifa and nothing less than Sreifa. And frankly speaking, I'm not exactly sure how the tour, you know, what conclusion he comes to. We'll take a look in Shulchan Aruch, but he says...
So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Could you say... Once you've taken the concern is because it's sitting on your table, right? It's sitting in your house. That's the way you usually eat it. Once you take this,
that's tosis. Yeah.
Once you take this bag out and you put it in that container, you know, there is no way you're going to forget. You've never taken chametz from the garbage and eaten it, so that whole concern is gone. Now the Daraisa goes back to the beer. Would you not say that?
Well, wait a minute. Let me just see if I understand you correctly, Joe. Oh, good. Bittul. Okay. I thought I got scared there for a second. In other words, like this. According to Tosfos, we rely on Bittul. The Chachamim never had any problem with Bittul. The Chachamim only said that we're not going to rely on Bedika alone. And that's the Gemara of Davav, of Shemi Yimtza Gluski Yefei from Adaita. We didn't get to that yet. Meaning maybe you left up on the rafters, you left, I don't know where you left it. You'll find it during Chametz, and that's going to be Bal Yerah Bal Yimotzei. But as far as the Torah law is concerned, Bittul is absolutely reliable. And then we have to worry about Shemi Yovel Yachlo, throw it in the rubbish, that should cover all your bases. So you covered Bal Yerah Bal Yimotzei through Bittul, the Torah relies on Bittul. You went ahead and you made a Bedika to try to find all the Chametz. We're not going to rely on Bittul because you might eat the chametz if you left it around on your table. After you do the bedika, l'chora mimanavshach, you're covered. And now what do you do with the chametz that you find? Get rid of it. What do I care how you get rid of it? Let the garbage collectors pick it up. You're not going to come to eat it. However, if you go with the Ran, that the Rabbanan did not rely on Bittul, and therefore, the only method of fulfilling Tashbisu and avoiding Bal Yerah Bal Yimotzei is the combination of Bedika plus Biur. Now I ask yourself, well, how are you Makayim the mitzvah of Biur? Is it enough that you throw it in the rubbish can? Well,
yes.
According to Chachamim, yes. But what about according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says Ein Biur Chametz El Sreifa?
According to the Ran, it is okay.
I'm saying, how does the Ran paskin in the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham? And the Ran is saying, we don't rely on Bittul. No, if we don't rely on...
But because the Ran's saying you don't rely on Bittul, because it's only 8 days a year.
No, Joe. The Ran is saying we don't rely on Bittul because you didn't do a sincere Bittul. Your bittul was not done belave gamur.
Okay.
It's a very flimsy kind of thing. You know, imagine, just imagine, Joe, if you owned a whiskey factory, right? You've got like thousands and thousands of whiskey bottles. And you say, you know what? All that whiskey, which is worth, I don't know, $10,000, whatever it's worth, it's like the dust of the earth. Like, come on, who are you fooling? I'm just using that case to dramatize the Ron's point. The Ron's point is that we've got millions of Jews out there doing bittul. It can't be, I mean, halavai, it should be, that every last Jew, you know, is yelling, Horton, or he has a who, you know, that I don't care for my chametz, and he's absolutely sincere about his bittul. So there's only that one last, you know, that little guy up there, you know, who's not sincere. We got to cover our bases. Forget about bittul. You have to do bittul. If you don't do bittul, you might find a gluski of faith. You didn't do a great bdika. We're not going to rely on bdika. But at the same time, we're not going to rely on bittul. If we don't rely on bittul, now comes the mitzvah of tashbisu. Because the Torah offered you two possibilities of tashbisu. One was bittul. The other is tashbisu mamish. But what is tashbisu? So you're going to tell me, throw it in the rubbish can. I don't know. Let's ask the Ron what he says about this. The Torah says that Rashi and others, paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, which means ein bir chametz el sreifa, I'm not sure if the rubbish can is a kiyuma mitzvah. Again, you may say, well, you know, by the time they get to the 14th at noon, they've taken all the rubbish and they've burnt it in a public, you know, burning. I don't know. Do you know such a thing? You don't know such a thing. And the question is, how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? Is our minug of sreifa just a nice minug? I'll kiss you on the fire. Yeah, you're a good guy. You did sreifa? Or no? Our sreifa is a proof that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or at least we think that maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Let me just read to you a little bit of the Shulchan Aruch. In Taf Lamed Aleph, he has Zman Bedikas Chametz. And there's a heck of a lot to talk about here. B'tchilas Leil Yudalit, exactly when you have to do the Bedika, can you delay it? How you do the Bedika, Lara Ner, B'chor Nistokim, B'chor Malkum Shederach, L'Ikonis L'Sham, 1,001 questions have to be asked here. And they're all relevant La'alocha. Then he says, Yizar Kolom Shilo Yaskil Shum Malacha, you're not supposed to get involved in any work, and so forth and so on. That's in Taf Lamed Aleph, and then we fast forward to Taf Lamed Dalet. In Taf Lamed Dalet, he says the following, Achar Abdika Miyad, he immediately, at the conclusion of his Bdika, Balayla, excuse me, Yivat Lenum, he should recite Bittul. V'yomar, Kol Chamira, De'isa Bershusei, Dulach azise udala biarte levatel vlehevi kiafra diar. Good. So he recited bittul. Again, you know, just on the side, you know, everyone should make sure they understand the bittul, you know, whatever language it is. And ball game over. No, the ball game's not over. He says, Tov lachzer ulevatlo pamacheres biyom yudalid, a second bittul, besof shach hamishis, at the end of the fifth hour, let's say in a perfect day at 11 o'clock in the morning, kodem shetagia shashishis, mishetagia shashishis, ein biyod ulevatlo shekvar nesar, it's too late, and he wants a second bittul on the day. Says the Mishnah Brura, why a second bittul? If Isher Gilim Liknos Pas Biyom Dalid Lemaichel. He eats breakfast on the morning of the 14th, and therefore that wasn't included in his bittul. And then the Mechaber says the following. I'm sorry, the Rambam says the following. V'ein levatel bayom, Elo li'achar shesaraf hachametz. Don't recite bittul too early. Wait until after sreifa. Why, says the Ramah, kidei lekayim mitzvas sreifa bechametz shalom, so that he fulfills his mitzvah. If he would recite bittul before he destroys the chametz, then although he is avoided by Rabbi Yimatze, if it's a sincere bittul, and even on the chametz that he bought in the morning for breakfast, the leftovers for breakfast, but nevertheless, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of tashbisa. Why? Because he apparently holds that tashbisa requires what? Sreifa. This is pretty wild. Rabosai, what I find in the tour, in Tuf Lamed Aleph, as a sort of, I'm sorry, I said Tuf Lamed Aleph, I made the same mistake before, Tuf Mem Hey, here, right, and the tour writes that maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and others hold like Rabbi Yehuda, is Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa. This seems to be codified by the Ramah. And the Ramah wants to do, I'll be with you just in a second, David, I just want to finish one idea because otherwise I won't remember what I want to say or where I was holding. The Ramah seems to assume that in order to guarantee, and I quote, L'kayim Mitzvah Sreifa, you have to make sure that you haven't done Bittul on that Chametz. It's really wild because according to the Ramah, the first postulate is that if you made bittul, it's not your chametz. Second postulate is if it's not your chametz, there's no mitzvah of tashbisu. And the third postulate is it's not enough to avoid bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Through bittul, we also need to be mekayim the positive mitzvah of tashbisu through sreifa. And I'm wondering, according to the Ramah, if I would be well advised to gag buy myself a piece of chametz if I don't have one in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sreifa. David?
I was going to say, I don't think he necessarily bring proof that the Ramah actually says that. He might be saying, it's actually a kind of shame if you do it this way. In other words, if you do this, according to everybody, you're going to say. If not,
I agree with you 100%, David, but what I'm trying to point out is that he's taking this tashbisu very seriously. He's not willing to say, you know what, it's an open and shut case. Tashbisu means guarantee that you have no chametz. Do your bittul and shalom al Yisrael. He wants to cover all the bases. He's worried about the possibility that tashbisu is a separate, independent mitzvah saseh. And not only that, he advocates sreifa, which sounds awfully reminiscent of Rabbi Yehuda Shita Ein Bil Chametz El Sreifa, which may mean Kuvase in the Minchas Chinuch's language.
Which means you're going to buy it.
What do you say?
Which means you're going to buy Chametz and burn it. You don't have it.
Because if you mavatel your Chametz, says the Ramah, it's not yours. So there's no mitzvah destroying Chametz that doesn't belong to you. So how do you guarantee that you obtain the mitzvah of Tashbisu? The answer is, delay your bittul until after sreifa. And Rabosai, what that means is that when I go out and burn my chametz, I shouldn't be pouring lighter fuel. What do they call it? Kerosene or whatever. I've seen everything, you feel.
Helping to burn it.
No,
because you're ruining the chametz. Right. It's not going to be chametz anymore.
Exactly. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and I quote the Ramah, Kedei L'Kayim Mitzvah Sreifa. So not only does the chametz have to be yours, that means it's not including the bittul you should recite after the biur, after the sreifa, but not only that, you shouldn't get rid of it in any other method. The chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda would be perfectly happy just, you know, flood it with the most inedible kerosene. But I don't think Rabbi Yehuda would be very happy with that.
I have a question now. According to Ramah, when you say you're bittul at night...
It's late already.
When you say you're bittul at night, after you do Bedikas Chametz, right, do you still own the Chametz?
The chametz, it depends what you make bittul on. Let's say I make bittul on all my chametz. What I found and what I didn't find.
I thought you say that though, right?
That's what the Machaber says. This is very strange. The Machaber says, Kol chamira de'isa birshusi, de'locha... Oh, maybe it's not so strange. You know what? Thanks, David. I think you opened up my eyes. I missed this point. The Machaber says, V'yomar... Kol chamira de isa birshusi de lachazisi.
Oh, okay, fine.
Is a I didn't pay attention. You opened my eyes. I owe you a debt of gratitude here.
Well, I opened her that man.
Because you know what?
You don't find your vato, but it's not being in front of you. You're still home. Okay. So, Rabbi, you said at the outset we're not going to reach a solution for the big ashpa containers
till next week.
Shedding supper for Hasia. Okay, so I have a solution. The neighborhood acquires the rights to the container from the city, and you burn it in the containers.
I think there'll be a riot. There'll be a riot on our hands, but yeah, no. I think we've made a lot of progress. I think we really have a lot of. You know, the legwork, the guidelines, we're beginning to feel our way through. And I just want to just end the Shia by re-emphasizing what David pointed out to me, that we don't want an all-inclusive bittul at night.
Right.
We want a limited bittul, because we want to leave chametz that we own, that we found during Bedika. Let's say you put out the 10 pieces, if that's your minhag. Or alternatively, the chametz that I bought for breakfast, when I bought a loaf of bread or a slice of bread, a roll for breakfast in the morning, and that was not included in my bittul, is when Meil Ramah says you own it. If you own it, you can now fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu through Sreifa. After the Sreifa, we're always worried that maybe, you know what, maybe you missed a piece of chametz during your bedika. You're going to find it on Pesach. Your bittul is gone, and therefore make sure to do a bittul and protect yourself. But the next step would be in the Ramah, and David, I'm not saying that the Ramah is committed to this position, but he's at least concerned about this position, that the halacha might be like Rabbi Yehuda, ein bi'ur chametz el sreifa. It means I got to go out there and guarantee that I have chametz. And I'll tell you the truth. What happens, a Jew asks me the following question. He says to me, Rabbi Burson, you know what? I made a boo-boo, eschatoyni maskir, and I recited bittul before my sreifa. So I say to him, you know what? If you want to be a super-duper Jew and fulfill this Ramah, then go ahead and make a kinyan on a piece of chametz. That's a little dangerous thing to do on Erev Pesach, you know. But the reason why I want to tell him to do that is since he already made bittul, he cannot fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu on this chametz which doesn't belong to him. Guarantee yourself ownership on a piece of chametz in order to be mekayem the mitzvah of tashbisu. And burn it with all the gishmak. And this I want to leave you as a tidbit at the end, some haggadahs. I have one such haggadah, at least one, have a yihiratzon, a special supplication to be recited while your chametz is going up in smoke. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
David, read, I'm sorry I don't have a haggadah in front of me, but read the text of that yihiratzon, where we say, Shetichle Shetichle hara ke'oshon min oretz v'tavir memshel azodon, etc. And ask yourself the question, what does that Yehi Ratzon remind you of? Almost word for word. Yom Kippur. It's a Yom Kippur dika Yehi Ratzon. And my father, Zichron Levracha, used to point out, and he told me this many times, that it's the strangest minhag in the world, that on Erev Pesach, we are reciting a liturgical composition of a of a supplication that is almost identical to the supplications that form the backbone of Atfilos and the Musaf of Yom HaKippurim. This is not Purim. You know, with the Arizal's Purim Kippi Purim. This is Pesach, my friends. Why in the world are we davening on Erev Pesach as if it was Yom Kippur? And he used to quote, I'll never forget it, he used to quote, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that El Mole Yisrael Mekayimim Shtei Shabbosos is a Goel Ba. You know, we can guarantee the Gula if we would have the Jewish nation observe two consecutive Shabbosos. And the Mefarshim say, you know which two Shabbosos? It's not just any two Shabbosos. It's Shabbos Shuva and Shabbos HaGadol. My father, when he first got his contract as a rabbi in Flatbush in Brooklyn, the contract required that 3 out of 4 Shabbosim in a month, he would speak in Yiddish, and 1 out of 4 he would speak in English. Then they changed the contract when less people knew Yiddish, and it was 2 and 2, until finally it became 3 and 1. 3 in English and 1 in Yiddish. And then finally they did away with that contract, and they added a clause that 4 out of 4 would be in English, but twice a year he would speak in Yiddish, on Shabbos HaGadol and on Shabbos Shuva. The Shabbos before Yom Kippur and the Shabbos before Pesach, he would speak in Yiddish. They finally got rid of that clause, and even on Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuva, he would speak in English. And then he had to go down to Florida in order to find an audience that would appreciate his Yiddish. He used to say a shir in the Crown Hotel, if you ever heard of it.
Yeah.
You heard of it? And he,
yeah, sure.
Right, he replaced Rav Mendel Kravitz, the Rashiv of RJJ, who passed away, and he continued the tradition of saying the shir in Yiddish. He was always mocked that if an Americana came into the audience, he would immediately switch to English. But Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuvah are now being joined together. It's almost like Erev Pesach is like Erev Yom Kippur, and we're destroying the Chametz. We're being mevayer the Ra, the evil from amongst us. We're asking Hashem to accept our Sreifas Chametz as if we are destroying all the evil within us. We're like doing Vidui and Tshuva, and therefore Shabbos HaGadol in preparation for that experience is like Shabbos Shuva. May we be zoche to all these experiences on the highest and most profound level, emotional tshuva, and reach the level of the mitzvah of Chayev Adam Liris Esatzmo on this Pesach. Ken Yiratzon Amen.